You're listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. What I'd like to talk about today is how kids learn what we teach them, but they also learn what we allow. And I'll explain that a little bit. Everyone knows that kids learn what we teach them, what we tell them, what we instruct them. And you also know that they learn a lot by watching us and what we do and things like that. But I'd like to remind people that children also learn what is acceptable, what's not acceptable, based on what kinds of behaviors and stereotypes and such that we allow and that we don't instruct our children, hey, you know that thing? That's not okay. I'll give you some examples. Bra snapping. When I was in fourth and fifth grade and sixth grade and later, it seemed that the boys got a thrill out of snapping girls' bras. And the teachers would say, oh, just ignore him. Oh, sit over here. Oh, scoot forward. Can you put your coat on? And they made it my problem. And if an adult female is at work and a male coworker comes up to ask her a question and he snaps her bra, there is no way, no how, that anyone would think that that's okay. And yet, when it happens to kids, and especially keep in mind the mental state for so many girls, it's a new time. This is new stuff. We're adjusting to our bodies. We're not even comfortable in our skin anymore because our skin is changing literally. And to have to wear a bra, I felt, was punishment enough. But to have to tolerate what were sometimes actually very painful bra snaps and be told that it's somehow my fault because I'm wearing a bra, or it's somehow my fault because I'm a girl and I have to wear a bra, or it's somehow my fault because I'm sitting there. And there's no way an adult female in a work environment would ever be told to tolerate somebody snapping her bra. And when teachers allow that behavior, when they don't instruct the boys, this needs to stop, this is not acceptable, you are not to do this, not only are we hurting the girls by making them feel that there's something wrong with them and that they're supposed to be tortured, not only for wearing a bra, but to have this additional pain inflicted on them at the whim of any boy, but we're also sending a message to the boys that you can do anything you want to a girl if she's there. And what a horrible thought that is. When you think about rape, isn't that kind of what some people end up saying happened? Well, she was there, and so she must have wanted it. She was there because she was required to be there, or she was there because that was, you know, the way it worked. She wasn't there for you to rape her, she was there. And letting boys think that snapping a bra of a girl in front of them, next to them, in their class, in a different class, whatever, is acceptable, is instilling in the minds of these young boys, you can do whatever you want to girls because it's their fault that they're there. And girls are just as quickly learning, you should expect abuse because you're there. And those are horrible, horrible things to teach anyone. Children oftentimes have their feelings dismissed because they are children. And I would like for you to think about your own life, think about your own childhood, and also think about your parents or grandparents. It seems whoever has the most power is the one whose feelings are respected. The one who screams and says, look at me. And children don't have the understanding that their feelings are being dismissed, to stand up for themselves and say, hey, wait a minute, I said I'm feeling hurt and no one's paying attention to me. Whereas adults, parents, grandparents can say, excuse me, but I'm expressing my pain, and whether you care or you don't, I at least would like some acknowledgement that you heard that I'm expressing my pain. I'd like to encourage people to realize that what a baby knows is all that a baby knows. A baby does not know how to file. A baby does not know how to use a hammer. A baby does not know how to eat steak. A baby knows what a baby knows until they learn differently, until they grow. And children know what they know until they grow and learn differently. So it's not acceptable for a 9-year-old to be peeing in their pants, because at that stage, that growth and development, they should know how to control their bowels, they should know how to control their bladder, they should know how to say, excuse me, I'm going to the restroom, things like that. Things that are appropriate for that age level that are not appropriate for an infant. And likewise, when you're an adult, there are certain things that are acceptable. Crying until you get your way is not acceptable. Again, you have to acknowledge where you are in life and embrace what you know, what you understand, what you have learned, and use it in the best and healthiest ways to communicate with other people. I personally did throw a fit as an adult with my children because I had had it, and I literally threw things in a public store. I had a handful of things and I threw them and I screamed and I stomped off. And I feel so horrible what my kids must have felt like knowing that mom just lost it. And that's a lot different for children to feel when a parent throws a fit than it is for a parent when a child throws a fit. Because as a parent, we know our child only understands so much, and when they're pushed to the max, they're going to have a meltdown. Children know that adults are supposed to be able to control their behavior, their thoughts, express themselves with words, and not throw fits. I did a huge disservice to my children, and I was an imbecile. The brain damage that I had at the time, the stress level that I had at the time, and where I was emotionally was the equivalent of an infant who needed a nap, who needed a bottle, who needed a hug, who needed her blankie. I mean, I was gone. That doesn't dismiss the horrible behavior and the awful way I know it made my kids feel, but it has stayed in my memory enough to offer it up as a wonderful example to you folks that are listening. We have to learn how to communicate. We have to learn what's acceptable behavior. We have to enforce acceptable behavior by teaching our children, by showing our children, and by making appropriate, respectful comments when things are not as they should be. I know when I was in fifth grade, the boys, somebody had a Playboy or a picture of a naked woman. And of course, it was being passed around. And the girls were very embarrassed because here's a picture of naked females being passed around the room. And the boys were all laughing and, you know, let me see. And it created a really horrible environment because you have boys that are looking at pictures of naked girls while clothed girls are in the room, and it made us feel objectified. It made us feel like they were looking at us naked. And one of the teachers dismissed it, told the boys to put it away, don't get it out again, and that was kind of it. There was nothing more said. Well, typical kids, fifth graders, it continued being passed around. And one of the English teachers caught wind of what was going on, and she demanded to see it. And in front of the whole class, she looked at the picture, and she said, "What a beautiful woman. You know, all of our bodies are beautiful. They are made and created in such a dynamic way that each individual's body, whether clothed or not, is beautiful. And I don't think that you boys really understand that you're seeing something beautiful. You think you're seeing boobies." And the boys, for the first time, were embarrassed at how they had been looking at this picture. And in later days, that same teacher showed some different artwork, Renaissance stuff and such, and showing nudes. And some of the artwork was just incredible. And this time, looking at pictures of naked men and women, or paintings, I should say, of naked men and women, there wasn't the giggly embarrassment. There was the, how did they paint that? How did they work out the shading? What was involved? Did someone actually have to pose for that picture for that long? And there was a lot more emphasis on the art and the beauty of what we were seeing, and how one person took a paintbrush and created a beautiful human being for us to see all these hundreds of years later. I'm really grateful for that teacher doing what she did, because she made us girls, and I speak for myself, but I know the other girls at the time, we were all talking, were so glad she did that, because it made us feel pretty again. It didn't make us feel like objects. It made us feel pretty again. And that was pretty amazing. Along that time, boys would make fun of girls for being on their periods. Oh, she's crabbing because she's on her period. What's that spot on your pants? Stuff like that. And again, us girls, we're going through a very difficult time. Puberty, our bodies are changing. We're bleeding from places that we've never bled before. And up to this point in our life, anytime we had that much blood, it was a reason to go to the emergency room, or at least the doctor's office. And now we have mass amounts of bleeding, and people just say, oh, just go to the bathroom. And it's a lot to deal with. And it's like a caterpillar to a butterfly difference. I mean, we never had wings before. I'll make an always panty liner comment. We never had wings before, and now we have to have wings, and now we're bleeding, and now we have bumps where we didn't have bumps, and we have hair where we didn't have hair, and it's confusing, and it's embarrassing, and it's smelly, and it's weird, and we don't know what to do. And then when you allow boys to make fun of girls for bleeding through their pants, or other girls to make fun of girls for bleeding through and leaving something on the chair, well, certainly, don't you think if a girl has control to not bleed through to a chair and leave it for everyone to see and make fun of her later, don't you think that she would have done something to keep that from happening? So as teachers, as educators, as parents, I encourage all of you to help boys and girls to understand that's part of bodies changing. That's part of how things are. I know boys didn't like being made fun of for having sudden erections any more than girls liked being made fun of for suddenly bleeding through their clothes. But for some reason, boys suddenly having erections in class was seen as powerful, was seen as cool, was seen as, you know, he's so man. And it wasn't that way for girls. We were made fun of. made fun of for normal things that were supposed to be happening with us. I know Dove, manufacturer of soap products, Dove did a series of recordings where they asked girls of different age ranges, from 5th grade, 6th grade, on up into their teens, and they said, what does it mean to fight like a girl? And what does it mean to run like a girl? And what does it mean to throw like a girl? And the young girls that were asked that, they threw, they ran, they showed themselves, their true selves. And the older girls, whether it was teenagers or adult women, throwing like a girl was seen as a negative, wimpy, wussy thing, something that didn't matter, didn't count, and wasn't very good. And I applaud Dove for doing that. They really helped people to understand that doing something, quote, like a girl is not a negative thing. And I don't care if you're welding steel or if you're baking. Doing something like a girl should not be seen as a negative. I had a friend on Facebook who put a post up, and it was a coach for a football team. And the words around it were supposed to be making fun of the other team's coach. So this coach says, oh, I've never heard of her. Well, both coaches are male. And if this coach had said, I've never heard of him, it kind of gives to light that, yeah, I don't know who that is. But saying, I've never heard of her, takes that male privilege a little further. And not only have I not heard of this other coach, but it must be a woman because she's of no significance to my life that I would have had a reason to hear of her. And, you know, it could have just said, oh, that coach, I've never heard of him, as if he doesn't matter, you know, like he's insignificant. But to say, I've never heard of her, knowing the other coach is a male, it's that extra jab, kind of like a girl. And I pointed out to my friend that, you know, he could have said, I've never heard of him, but because they said never heard of her, it took it a step further and made it even more negative. And I didn't appreciate female bashing, basically, is what it was. And I said, I don't appreciate being dismissed simply because I'm female. It's not a women's lib thing. It's you're bashing women. And my friend deleted my comment and never responded to me, never said anything to me, no private message, nothing. So not only did his Facebook post indicate that women are less than, but him deleting my comment and never telling me, you know, hey, it was just a joke. Not that that makes it any better, but he didn't address it at all. He deleted my comment, and that was it. So I deleted him as a friend on Facebook. Now, certainly we're still friends. I still value his input in my life, but I take it all with a grain of salt now, because not only was his post dismissive of women as being important, but his response to my request that he acknowledge that that's not appropriate was slammed, you know, and it's not nice. Another thing that happens is boys will pick on girls, especially around puberty years, and oftentimes the girls are told, well, he's picking on you because he likes you. And that is the greatest setup for an abusive relationship for that girl's future that I've ever heard. If you think about it, a boy who picks on you or teases you is doing it because he likes you. Then a man who manipulates you, controls you, and smashes you with his fist must love you to death. I mean, really, what are we teaching these kids? And likewise, it's not just that the girls learn an abusive relationship is what you should be prepared for. It also allows the boys to continue abusive behaviors. Boys who pick on girls are picking on girls because they either can't express their feelings and haven't learned how, don't understand their feelings and haven't learned what they're feeling or why, or they're watching dad beat the crap out of mom because when she was a little girl, somebody said, oh, he's picking on you because he likes you. You know, think about the cycles that we're teaching our kids. The other comment I'd like to bring up is the expression of, oh, it's just a bunch of girls. That is a very, very harmful statement. And I can tell you firsthand, growing up, I did have some close female friends when I was in fifth and sixth grade. Seventh grade and on out through high school, not really as much. And here's a big part of why. When we were in fifth and sixth grade, there were very often comments of a bunch of girls want to talk to you, meaning a bunch of girl students wanted to talk to a teacher about a problem or a counselor. A bunch of girls are here, they've got a complaint. And it was always said so negatively, as if what we had to say didn't matter, wasn't important. It was a whine session, it was a complain session, it wasn't valid, it was just annoying. And I didn't want to be with just a bunch of girls. So my primary relationships, even when it was quote-unquote just friends, were with boys. Because teachers and counselors and secretaries who announced a bunch of girls are here to talk to you, they made it clear that a bunch of girls was not a good thing. It was not a positive thing. And so I formed relationships and friendships with boys. And I really miss my female friends from fifth and sixth grade. We stuck together. We tried to help each other through as best we could. We tried to, you know, whoever was the first girl wearing a bra, we tried to sit around her so that the boys couldn't snap her bra and things like that. We tried to help each other out. We were there for each other. And especially around seventh grade, teachers, counselors, principals, assistant principals, ah, a bunch of girls are here, they got some complaints. I didn't want to be with those people that were a bunch of girls and complaining. I wanted to be with the people that got respected when they had something to say, when they voiced their opinion, when something wasn't right, and they voiced, hey, let's fix this. And I was taught around seventh grade that was boys, that wasn't girls. You had six boys to show up to a counselor's office, they're always taken seriously. You get 3 to 20 girls to show up to a counselor's office, and they're almost always dismissed. They're listened to, and they are pacified and dismissed. So what we teach our kids about everyone is equal, doesn't matter if you're black, white, Hispanic, Native American, everyone is equal. And then we demonstrate that by treating each other, regardless of race or ethnic background, whatever you want to call it, regardless of gender, we treat each other respectfully. And we live it in a way that when we see something that is not respectful, we point it out. And we don't have to be obnoxious. We don't have to go, hey, you can't be doing that. That's, no, you can't be doing that. We don't have to make the person who's doing that inappropriate behavior to feel bad. We can do it in a respectful way. We can say, Jimmy, I understand you've been snapping Susie's bra, and that's not appropriate, and you wouldn't like it if someone was snapping your underwear. And if you would like it, then that's on you. But most people don't appreciate when somebody grabs their clothing, pulls it out, and snaps it back at them. You are not allowed to do that to Susie. And if you are caught doing it to her or anyone else, you're going to face punishment. And actually follow through with the punishment. It's also important to say, Susie, I know Jimmy's been snapping your bra. I know it makes you uncomfortable. I want you to reassure you that most women do wear bras. Most girls your age do wear bras. It's not unusual for you to be wearing a bra. It's not weird. There's nothing wrong with you for having to wear a bra. And it is not your fault that he's snapping your bra. It is his fault. And we have asked him to stop. And if he does not stop, there will be repercussions. I know a lot of times when I make these recordings for City of Angels Recovery Radio, I tend to ramble, and I appreciate for everyone who listens and hangs on to the rambling part and gets through to where I'm making a point. But the thing is, I've spent so much of my life being dismissed because I was a dumb little girl, because I didn't like people touching me. People didn't know I was being raped, and that's why I didn't like being touched. But there were so many things about me that I was so uncomfortable with. And the biggest one was being human. Because when I was a little kid, I remember feeling like I could change the world. I remember feeling like I was important and that I mattered on the earth. And I'm not talking about an ego. I didn't think I mattered more than anyone else. But I did think that I mattered. I thought that my feelings were important. And I thought other people's feelings were important. And I thought people that were different from me, their feelings were important too. In fact, their feelings might even be more important than people who were like me, because it might be harder for them because they're different than me. It's tough being human, male or female. Age doesn't matter. But if you think back to when you were a really, really little kid, your earliest memories before people started being mean to you, you remember being hugged by that person who loved you and would protect you no matter what? You remember the times when you just felt safe and you didn't know why? Every human deserves that, regardless of their age today. So when I ramble on, I really think it's because I'm trying to make a point and I'm trying to emphasize my point. And I'm not sure that you understand my point, because I've been dismissed so many times in my life that maybe you're dismissing me now. And if I keep talking about it, you'll hear me. And that might be true for a lot of women. We say things 5 or 6 times because we're used to being ignored until we don't shut up. And then finally somebody will say, "What in the heck do you want?" And then we feel heard. Doesn't have to be that way. Listen to each other respectfully. Acknowledge that every human being you meet is a human being and they're struggling in their own way. I was an average little white girl and I felt like I didn't matter. And I know there's a lot of little black boys that can relate to that. And I know there's a lot of Hispanic people that are adults that can relate to that. I think you know what I'm saying. Treat each other respectfully. Love other human beings in a way that you want to be loved. You've been listening to Lynn founder of Stop Feeding the Predators, on City of Angels Recovery Radio, and healing starts here.